You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, you're going to learn why self-expression is so important for us as human beings. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste, and welcome to a special live edition of Live, Love, Engage. And I am delighted to be with you. I am, of course, Gloria Grace Rand, and I have got a special guest waiting in the wings who I'm going to be bringing in today, and she is coming to us all the way from Ireland. So I want to welcome Eileen Forrestal to Live, Love, Engage. Welcome, Eileen.
Well, hello, Gloria. Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to have you here. Eileen is a retired anesthesiologist, but now she has become, I found out actually shortly before she left her job. She was she founded a company called Get Up and Go Publications that produces the world's best love inspirational diary, and she's also the author of her own book called The Courage to Shine, as well as being a sought after speaker, coach, and mentor, and I guess the reason why I wanted Eileen on the show today is because she's got a big mission, and that is to heal the suffering in the world through words that make a difference, whether that's spoken words or written words, and really to be able to inspire and empower all of us to be able to, you know, be our best selves. So I thought we would start with you sharing a little bit about your journey of, you know, how you came to be able to have this big mission of yours to be able to, where you want to be able to help people to really heal their suffering through words.
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, being a medical person, it was probably always in me somewhere, you know, to kind of make people better, you know, make the world better. it's just part of really what I was always doing. So in my medical career, it was like making people better. You know, how do you make people better? And then I had, you know, so I trained in all the different specialties. I did a little bit of everything, but I finally kind of specialized in anesthesia. And that was like really making people better. You could relieve their pain, give them epidurals, you know, you could, you know, relieve anything while they were having surgery. So I suppose it was the epitome really of the relief of suffering. And so that was really my career. You know, I like, you know, 30 years. And, you know, when you're doing that, you kind of realize, well, like I'm one small person and it's one person at a time that's kind of in front of me, you know. And I was always a reader and probably in the back of my mind, always some sort of a writer, but reading, and I was like reading words, you know, and words were actually really, really important. You know, words could, you know, they could light you up and words could kind of bring you down. So I got into, when I was like really busy, I used to buy a little diary myself. It was called the Irish Survivor's Diary. And it just had little words, little pep words that you could read every day. They'd just like pop you up a little bit, you know? Mm. So I just kind of used this little diary myself. And it was like my go-to pick-me-up for a little bit of a pep. And I was doing some fundraising at one point, and I was thinking, gosh, I wonder if the person who created this diary would give me some of the proceeds of their Christmas sales for my fundraising. So I went to the shop to where I actually bought the diary and said, where did this diary actually come from? And they said, actually, this was a person, she was a South African lady, and she actually lived about 5 miles away, which was unbelievably miraculous. I'm here in the northwest of Ireland in Sligo, you know. So anyway, I kind of, you know, I went round and called at her door and I said, oh, by the way, you know, put my little proposition to her. And she said she was thinking of not doing it anymore. And I thought, no, you have to. I like depend on this. This is my little go-to pick-me-up. And she said, well, you know, kind of, she just kind of, you know, she wasn't really able to kind of make a kind of a go of the business or whatever. So she offered me, you know, what do I want to kind of, you know, join her? And I thought, okay, that sounds like an idea. Anything to like not have it disappear. So I thought, well, whatever I had to do, you know, that's sure, like do it. And so we kind of, we changed, at kind of the time it was 2006, you know, and we had this thing in Ireland called the Celtic Tiger, you know, the economy was roaring. There was nobody really like surviving sort of out there. So we thought really for a kind of a business thing, maybe we could change the name. And could it be like the, you know, like a get up and go diary? So it was a bit more uplifting and inspiring and really encouraging. Mm-hmm. So we changed the name anyway. So in 2007, we brought up the first Irish Get Up and Go diary. And then really over the course of the next few years, you know, we just kept kind of, you know, I just have another idea. What about one for this? What about one for young people? What about one for busy women? Because I was a really busy woman. And, you know, we just kind of added things. And then what about putting people's stories together? What about like a hero's book? And what about a school journal? And so we just kind of kept adding and adding. So we have quite a lot of products now. And in 2014, I sort of decided, well, actually, you know, I'm having like way more fun with the books and the diaries and the words than I was really with the, you know, it was just, it was still a very stressful career, you know, and I kind of, I don't know. So maybe I thought maybe I could make more impact with words than I could just with my one pair of hands. Mm. So I just kind of thought, well, okay, I'll give that a go. So I retired early from the health service. That's a great career. Really loved it, you know, but I just thought, okay, well, let's see how I do with this. So here we are.
Very cool. Well, tell us a little bit about the book that you wrote. How did that come about? Because I know that has something to do with your own personal story, which again has to do with the power of words. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I suppose, you know, everybody has got some kind of, you know, maybe reason or purpose as to why they're living the life that they're living or how they end up where they end up, you know. Mm-hmm. So my kind of, I just, you know, I used to share this like with people and they said, oh, you should write a book about that. Thought, really? Would people really want to read that? But anyway, I kind of said, okay, sure, maybe I will. So really, you know, what it was is that I actually didn't speak very much at all for like a huge portion of my life. Because when I was young and I was about 3 years of age or 3 and a half, I actually had an accidental overdose of aspirin. And I just developed a stammer. Oh. And when I was learning how to speak, I just couldn't get any of my words out. So, you know, it was just this, and it just became like just such a struggle just to get the words, you know, and I had like speech therapists and child psychologists and all that sort of thing. And I just could not get it. Like I had so many words in my own head and they just wouldn't come out of my mouth. And, you know, after just what it felt like, just, you know, just being just like, am I ever going to get this right? And then when I was 13 and I was in secondary school and, you know, I had a really kind of an embarrassing occasion in school, you know, with the teacher, I couldn't even just say my name. And I just said at the point, I said, that's it. I'm exhausted. I can't do this anymore. They're not going to come out right ever. Stop.
Wow.
I'm going to stop talking.
Oh.
Now, I didn't stop talking entirely, but I did not anything that sounded like there was a, you know, a kind of a, like any kind of pressure on me to speak or any opportunity to kind of speak with like to more than one person. Mm-hmm. You know, the panic would, you know, the anxiety, it's like whatever. And I just thought the only way to deal with that is just not put myself in that position. I thought, well, okay, there's a good plan. So that was my plan. So anyway, you know, so I was quite smart. You know, I could work through anything. I could work through anything on paper. You know, I could pass tests like no bother. You just couldn't get out my mouth, right? So anyway, it was okay while you were in school. You know, the teachers kind of had a fair idea. Okay, leave her alone. She's doing okay. And I'm like, you leave me alone. I'm doing okay. And then, you know, so, you know, you get great results in your exams. And then you kind of think, well, you know, what am I going to do now? Like, I couldn't use a telephone. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't. It's like, what am I going to do? And then, you know, somebody had said, or my brother actually had said, oh, college is really great. You know, go to college. You know, nobody asks you anything. You just take your notes, lectures, you know, and do your exams at the end of the year. And I thought, okay, college, what's the longest course in college? And then, oh, medicine. Okay, I can do that. That'd be good. You know, I'll do medicine. And by the time I'm qualified, I'll have sorted myself out. No problem. So in a way I had actually sorted myself out, but really I still wasn't going to speak. I was just going to do it. It was going to be one at a time, one on one, but I wasn't going to actually do anything that was going to put any kind of pressure on me. So that was kind of what I did. And it was like, so like, not me, you know, it was like, it was, I was always bursting to say stuff. Like I was bursting with ideas or bursting with opinions and bursting with whatever. And I just wasn't sharing them, you know? So, caught up in my head. And then I was getting kind of frustrated, you know, and I was looking at other people and I was jealous of other people and how could they do it? And they could get words out so easily. And then they talk nonsense. So anyway, I think, so I kind of got over that really, you know, about maybe 20 years ago. And, you know, I just kind of, because I realized, well, you know, I was kind of at a, I was at a seminar and somebody said, Eileen, what are you doing? Well, I'm managing. I don't have to talk. And they said, no, but wouldn't life be much more fun if you did? So it is. It's a lot more. So it was like, it was really, now there's a little bit more probably to it than that. And I kind of say it in the book because there was a lot of kind of anger as well around my, with my mother, you know, it was almost like it was her fault that I couldn't speak. It was her fault that I had a stammer. It was her fault that I left, she left out the tablets. And I had all of that. And then all the time she'd be trying to say, speak properly. And I'm thinking, I can't, leave me alone. I can't do it. And it was like, so really kind of when I kind of had to kind of, you know, question all that and say, was that really the truth? Like, really, you know, was I really that mean to her? She was a great mother. You know, so you had to kind of go back and say, look, could I, you know, could I just not be maybe that upset 6-year-old that, you know, broke the doll? Could I just now be like, you know, a grown up and sort of say, look, I'm really sorry. You were great. And I'm sorry I was a bit of a madam when I was a teenager. All of that, yeah. So here I am. Very fun, anyway. So, well, on programs like this and say, hey.
Well, yes, and you're certainly talking now, which yeah, is great. But how did you manage to, I mean, I'm just trying to wrap my head. See, I can't even talk now. Okay, wrap my head around this. So you were stammering, but then, so you decided not to talk, but somehow along the way, is it something that then when you did start to talk a little bit more, were you able to sort of kind of grow out of it? Or did you actually, or did you have some more help with, you know, therapists or someone helping you?
No, I didn't actually have any more help. It just, when actually I was relaxed, the words just came out. Okay. It was the tension and the anxiety and everything that actually stopped them coming out. So when I could just like, like, you know, it just took a little process. And then really what I was saying wasn't like, it was almost like when I was having to speak before, you were having to get something right. There was some answer you had to give that was the right answer. There had to be, it was always like in some sort of academic setting or something. That was like the whole context of where I had actually got myself really in a stranglehold. Whereas when it came to just saying, you know, hello, how are you? It was like, well, that was easy, you know? So I wasn't actually then in a position, I didn't have to be delivering presentations. I didn't have to be doing all the things that caused all the stress. I could just say things like, oh, hello, how are you? And then I realized, well, those words just came out. That was easy.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, and I guess what happens is that I would think that also then gave you confidence because you're like, okay, well, yes, I can actually converse when I want to. So I'm not having to necessarily stay silent.
Yeah. So yeah. It was all about that. It was just the doing it. It was just actually risking it and doing it because I just hadn't risked it for years. I had refused. But then when I said, well, okay, I'll give it a go.
And now can't touch up.
That sounds okay. I know. So, well, a lot of catching up to do.
Absolutely. I want to ask you, why is it that self-expression is so important for us as human beings?
It just is. You know, like it's in the Bible. You know, self-expression is essential to life. If you're not expressing yourself, who are you expressing? You know, it's like, this is us. This is it. We're kind of delivered into the world. Like, this is it. This is us. And then we have to figure out, like, who you know, who we are, what we are. And then it's almost like if you're looking out all the time to, well, am I like that person? Or am I like that person? Or am I not like that person? Or am I not like that person? And you're out there comparing all the time. And you think, well, actually, I'm just this person. And if you have the confidence just to be this person, and this person maybe doesn't get it right all the time, and maybe this person doesn't even know what they're, you know, what it is half the time, but it's like, okay, just to say that, and then to, you know, and then kind of get connected with what really kind of, what do you love to do? Like, what really kind of lights you up? You know, and for me, actually, it's clear kind of obviously, you know, communication and speaking actually lights me up, right? So when I wasn't doing that, I was like a very angry person. And I was very, and I didn't kind of realize that that was so important. And I see people, they're artists and they're musicians and they're lit up. And then I see people who are suppressed artists and suppressed musicians because somebody said, you'll never make a living out of that. You know, you'll never get an income out of that. Or you won't. And then people thought, oh, I have to do something that's going to make me money. And like, yes, if you can make money out of your, you know, your passion, that's great. But you can still be passionate about what you're doing. You can still, you know, you can still express yourself in whatever way it is that you want to express yourself and do what you have to do at work. I mean, I was, even though I wasn't speaking much at work as a doctor, I was listening to people. I was still trying to make them better. And, you know, there was still that level of accomplishment. But it was just for me, for my own thing. It was like, oh, let it out of my mouth. So there is something about humans. We do have this voice. We have this capacity to sing or make noise or laugh or whatever. And like, what allows that? So that's kind of our self-expression. And if we don't do that, we're kind of suppressing it. And then we're repressing it. And then we're depressing. And then you wonder what happens in life. We get depressed and we go into these little tunnels in our head. No, let it out of your mouth. Or out a paintbrush, or a pen, or something, or dance it out, or kick it out, or swim it out. Like, let the body let it out, even if the, you know, the it doesn't come out your mouth. Like, I mean, that one thing I did do, you know, even though I didn't really speak very much, was I did all sorts of like crazy things. You know, I did jumped out of airplanes, I climbed tall buildings. You know, it's like anything I could do physically, I was doing. Like, I thought I was really brave. I was brave enough to do everything, except speak. So anyway, now I do everything.
Well, that's awesome. And that's something I don't really have any desire to jump out of an airplane. That scares me too much. So I'll find other ways to be able to step out of my comfort zone. I wanted to talk because it's clearly, you know, self-expression is important. And we need to be able to express ourselves in some way. And then when we don't, what is the cost of it? Because you're, you know, you basically, you know, decided that, okay, you made a decision. You weren't going to, you know, talk much because of, you know, realizing that it was causing you stress in certain circumstances. How did that affect you? Did that have a negative effect on you either personally or professionally? And what in general would you say is, you know, kind of the cost of suffering in silence for folks?
Well, yeah, because, you know, like, I thought the word suffering is a little bit hard. I'm not quite sure, you know, that we really get the, you know, how present suffering is. You know, it's a kind of a big word. But, you know, it's like when we're not being fully, you know, you have it engaged in life, you know, loving your life on some level, there's something where it's not full. And that is kind of that. Now, you can call it suffering, but we don't really see it as suffering, but it kind of is in a way. So it's to, you know, like some people, you know, when you say it's a silence, it's maybe they're not saying the truth, you know, and then you're suffering in a way because you're not telling the truth about something. So it's like we know ourselves, you know, the truth like sets you free, you know, all this thing. So when you're not telling the truth about something or you're not being able to share something, you have to keep a secret or something, that causes some, you know, anxiety and tension, which then can, you know, be experienced as a sort of a suffering, because it's the absence of suffering. We're very clear about what it looks like when you're not suffering, when you're out there playing and it's whatever, right? And then it's kind of, you know, we're all, you know, I've grown up a Catholic. It's almost like you were doomed to suffer in this life. You know, like that was part of it. And I'm thinking, I don't think that's what he meant. I don't think Christ meant that. I think he meant we're supposed to, you know, love your neighbor and really, you know, it's we're not really supposed to be suffering. I don't get that. That, you know, we're supposed to be, we're okay and heaven is the next, you know, heaven is where you're going to be happy. It's like, no, we can be happy here. We just have to get the hang of it. You know, and I think a lot of it is really being okay and being open and being, you know, having that courage to say things. I think when we're children, we're afraid to say things because we're going to get into trouble. And, you know, somebody has said something and you think, oh, I better not say that. I better not tell them about that. I better not tell them that I broke it, you know. And then you sit there with this guilt because you know you broke it and you can't tell anybody now, you know. And then there's maybe confession. I was double whammied. I couldn't even tell in confession that I had Jonas did. I mean, I was tortured. So I couldn't have any sins. And then if you had a sin, whatever sins were when you were seven, you know, it was like, so all of that stuff kind of builds up. So when we can just like let that out, you know, let that go. You know, I was seven or I was five or whatever. And then just take it on the chin. And as adults, we really should be able to say, do you know what? I did that. I did it. Mea culpa. Yeah, I did it. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to do it. I did it. And, you know, I'd like to clean it up now.
Yeah. But it is hard sometimes, though, because I know for me, I didn't have a problem with stuttering. But I know for me growing up, my household was a little volatile at times. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom would, she had a quick temper and because she was dealing, you know, being in that type of a marriage was not fun for her. And so there was a lot of tension. And so I decided to be silent and not speak so much because I figured it would be safer that way so that, you know, then maybe nobody would find any fault with me if I was just quiet. And I also really kind of modeled my dad because when he wasn't drinking, he also was just a very quiet person. He didn't talk much because my mom could carry on conversation, you know, entirely. He wouldn't have to do that. But it did cause me some issues because then I wasn't as confident in myself in being able to then speak later as an adult. It took me a while to be able to kind of get over that and to, you know, really start speaking my truth. And frankly, I think actually doing videos has really helped me, because I realized that, oh yeah, I do like to talk. I just had gotten into the habit of not talking. Did you ever find that it was more, even when you decided to kind of not talk so much, that it really just became more of a habit of not talking?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and you get a lot of advantages. You hear a lot.
Well, yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that too, because I know you talk about a little bit about the benefits of listening. So talk a little bit about how does that fit in here, and that, because you call listening a gift, actually.
Yeah. Well, I think listening is a skill, you know, that really we're not, we're often listening kind of wary, you know, we're not really listening from like really being curious. You know, so when we're young, we're given, oh, she said her first word, oh, five words, you know, this. And, you know, you're in school, you get the right answer. Like all the speaking is what gets the kudos. But the listening skills, like really being able to, you know, listen and hear what another person is saying and learn to sort of sit back and take that time so that the other person gets heard. So, you know, I would have really listened a lot. You know, I'm really listening. I mean, I would be listening, number one, to see how come the words came out, but I'm also listening to the words that came out. And then how did they match up with how somebody, you know, what they were saying and what they were, how they were actually. There was sometimes a little bit of a disconnect. So I think, you know, if you're really listening and willing to listen, you can learn so much about people, and then people just get heard and then they get understood and then things move on kind of easier. Because most of it is like, oh, you don't understand, you're not listening to me, you don't get where, you know, all of that stuff. And so I think there's a little bit of a way to go with us in listening. Now, I did read something recently, and it was actually said listening is a radical act. Mm. It's like, because if you listen, you might have to change your point of view. Mm. You know? And really, if you change your point of view, what it's like, where does that leave you? So sometimes it's easier to hold on to your point of view and not listen to those people over there because they don't know what they're talking about, blah, 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 whatever. Whereas then you miss really what people are saying over there. Mm-hmm. You know, because those people over there, you're one of those people over there as far as they're concerned. So,
that's right.
You know, we do actually have to get, well, you know, I'm over here. You're over there, but if I can hear you, what you're saying, then maybe you can hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But there has to be, it's a space. It's a space where listening happens. And it's not really, we don't have a lot of it. There's a lot of noise out there. There's noise on social media. There's noise everywhere. Like even when you write a book or you're talking to your video, it's all, So really the gift is that somebody is listening to this. It's all very well for us talking, but if there's nobody listening, Gloria, we're just talking into hot air,
Well, I know at least one person's listening right now because I can tell.
Okay. But that's the sense. Like it is a gift. You know, we can't take it for granted that anybody is listening. And and are they listening, you know, because they're interested or are they listening because, like for whatever, you know, you've really no idea. We've no idea how people listen. So it takes courage to speak because there's going to be a whole pile of people don't like what you're saying anyway. And then there might be one or two that do like what you're saying.
That's right. Yeah.
You don't know until you say it.
Absolutely. And I know part of what happens, I think, where there is this miscommunication at times is that rather than listening to the other person, too often we are just thinking about how we're going to respond and like, what are we going to say to this person? So if we're not totally present for that person and listening, then we're going to miss what they're saying. And we're going to even have an idea of how we want to respond. It may totally be wrong because we haven't listened to the person. And I know I've had to improve my listening skills in doing a podcast because I'm interviewing people and I want to listen to what you have to say and not, you know, yes, I have a list of questions, but I don't always go by those questions because I want to listen to my guest and see what they say and then be able to trust my intuition to respond in a different way and maybe ask a different question. But if I'm sticking to the script, then I might miss out on something valuable.
Yeah.
So
I think that's the key, you know, and sometimes it takes a while for people to say what it is that maybe they want to say. You know, I think we're so quick, like say it fast. And if you can't get it out, it just takes some time, you know. I think one of the really interesting questions, if somebody's speaking, is to say, well, is there anything else you want to say about that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, maybe there is something else I want to say about that. And then somebody's actually asking me, is there something else I want to say? Mm-hmm. So then you have an opportunity then, because otherwise it looks like, oh, they're just waiting to get their point in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Opportunity to be able to speak their mind. And that's a wonderful thing to do for people to do that. I want to go back a little bit to, you know, you're starting your business and even getting involved in writing your own book. Is there something that you wish you had known when you decided to either, you know, embark on this, you know, taking this diary from this other woman, you know, being able to, you know, create a business from it since she wasn't able to do that. And even in writing your own book, is there anything that you wish you had known when you started out?
Well, I suppose how much it would take in the book to turn it into something that a reader would get value from. It was like that took, like if I had known, you know, then I suppose I might have written, it might have taken me as long to write it if I had known earlier that was, you know, how to turn it around so that there's somebody reading it can actually get some value. Because it's all very well saying stuff, but person, as I say, reading or listening is like how to make it either worthwhile or a valuable read for somebody else. So that was one. And I'm not a great, you know, I really, as I say, I'm full of quotes. You know, it's all the quotes. That's really what the diaries are. They're full and full of quotes. And I believe them all. So, you know, I don't really have a thing like, you know, having regrets or, oh, I wish I did anything differently. No, it's taken everything. It took absolutely everything, the good, bad, and the ugly, to get me right here. And I'm really happy right here. So whatever it took, that's what it took. So if I had done anything different anywhere, I would probably be somewhere else.
That's true.
So the fact that I'm here, it's like, no, it's all good. So I don't really. And the thing is, myself and Glenda, we did stay in the business. She was in the business for, she only retired out of the business in 2016. So we were co-partners in the business for quite a few years. So, you know, because when we kind of got together, when we collaborated, we could actually work together. So that was really good. Hmm. So, yeah, that was just, it's about, I suppose it's just, and I think it's really, maybe if I had, if I had kind of had the courage earlier, probably to maybe trust my you know, trust my voice and speak, and you know, maybe my marriage would have survived. I don't know. You know, it's like when you get to the point, you think, how did this happen to me? And then you realize, well, actually, when you look back at it, it was kind of fairly obvious that if I'm not self-expressed, well, then who's in the marriage anyway? It's like there's somebody else there. So that was kind of something that I discovered. Like, well, so yeah, you know, you have to kind of accept yourself, warts and all, and but make the best of yourself. And then when you make the best of yourself in any, whether you're in a business relationship or any relationship, you bring your best, and then you take it from there.
Hmm. Well, glad you learned the lesson. So that's important. Mm. Is there anything else that you would like to share about, you know, listening, about self-expression, that you'd like to share with our listeners and viewers out there that we haven't touched on yet?
Well, probably maybe just really to reiterate the same point. It does take courage. It does take courage. You know, it's not going to, you know, you have to let it out of your own mouth. You've got to say, you've got to be expressed yourself. You know, waiting for somebody to kind of drag it out of you. It's probably what I was doing, waiting for somebody to maybe drag it out of me. They're not going to do that, right? Or somebody really to encourage you. But if somebody's really encouraging you, I could resist that as well. So it's really to allow yourself to be encouraged. And because, I mean, courage doesn't necessarily come like from inside. It does from inside, but somebody has to encourage us. I mean, the encouragers in life are like our best gifts, people who encourage us. So we haven't always got that courage ourselves, but there are people who are, you know, who care about us and who love us and who want us the best for us. And they're trying to encourage us. And then we're kind of, if we could just say, okay, okay, I trust you. You know, trust comes as well. It takes courage to trust. It takes a lot of, it takes courage just to live. You know, as I say, we're very comfortable in kind of not stepping outside of comfort zones. But there's, as I say, most of the, you know, we're here in life. Like growing, as I say, growing old is kind of predictable, I think, isn't it? But growing up is kind of optional. And it just takes that courage to like step up and step out and say, well, what if? And, you know, maybe I could, and just to take those risks and just kind of just be that bit courageous and let the encouragers encourage you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's for sure. And it can be, if you don't have support with family, it could be, you know, investing in a coach. It could be actually, you know, talking to a minister or something, you know, whatever it is, but find someone or a really good friend, find someone to be able to be that sounding board for you. I think that's so important to have.
It's very important. Yeah. Otherwise you spend a lot of time thinking and worrying and everything in here. It doesn't come out of your mouth. Nobody can hear it. And then be able to kind of, you know, turn it, say, you know, and is that true? That's often the question, you know, when you say something, somebody will say, is that really true? Like, really? Mm. And then you might say, maybe not.
Absolutely, yeah. Because we often have blinders on about things or we're in our own little world and we don't necessarily see other avenues that could be available to us. And that's where having the benefit of having someone else listen to us and listen to what we say, that they can then say, okay, this is what I heard you say.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that really what you meant?
Or is that really what you believe? You know? Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So you know, how come you believe that when nobody else does? Like, you know, about yourself, you know, I'm not this. You know what everybody else seems to think you are. How come you're so determined that you're not? It's like, I don't know. So there is that,
Cool. Well, this has been a delight. I'm so glad you were able to be up late because I know it's the time difference is a little late there. So I appreciate you being with us today. If someone listening to you talking today would like to learn more about you and maybe even get a copy of your book, where's the best place for people to be able to connect with you?
Well, they can connect on my website. I'm actually pretty available. I'm on social media. I'm on Facebook and Twitter, LinkedIn. It's like no holds barred. And the book is on Amazon. So it's you know, you can get it on Kindle or on Amazon. It's just The Courage to Shine. It's Find Your Voice and Discover the Healing Power of Your Words. So our words have healing power. you know, the fact that we throw out the other ones so kind of, you know, daggers, whereas we could actually let the other ones out and sort of, you know, the forgiving ones and the loving ones and the kind ones and all those words. They do work wonders.
Absolutely.
We used to work at the bedside as well, you know, for medical people, you know, if you just think, you know, everything will be fine and, you know, we'll do this and we'll do our best. Like the words are very, you know, really, we could really be a little bit more mindful, I suppose, of the words that we use.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing your words with us today. And I'm glad that you are speaking up and speaking your truth and writing and all of that. So I appreciate you being with us today. And I appreciate all of you who are watching and listening, who've been listening to the podcast now, because this will be uploaded to all the wonderful podcast platforms. So I appreciate all of you who, you know, catch us on Spotify and Apple and all those good places. So thanks so much for that. And until next time, I am Gloria Grace Rand, encouraging you all to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You, How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.